how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, I have not talked to one person who believes Rob Gronkowski will retire. The expectation is he's back in a Patriots uniform in 2018.
So again, that's the tail end of the Ian Rappaport report. We continue to get your reaction. Here's Joe in the car. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, listen, I'm not going to ask you guys how you're doing because you're all out of your mind. There's no way that Kraft is going to take Gronk's side or Brady's side when it comes to trading Gronk over Belichick. If he does that, he's putting himself in a position just like with Parcells. Remember, I'm shopping for the groceries thing?
Yeah, Joe, he already did it, though. Joe, he already did it with Garoppolo.
Forget Garoppolo. That was about Brady.
No. The thing that you're talking about, he already interceded in a football matter with Garoppolo. He already did that.
Right. That had to do with Brady, and that's a one-time thing. Brady's not going to start choosing, well, you're not going to trade Edelman, you're not going to trade Gronk. If he's doing that, Belichick's going to throw his hands up. What's to stop Belichick from saying, okay, you can keep Brady here, make me get rid of Garoppolo, and you know what? Brady, you throw a bad pass, a couple interceptions, sit on the bench. I'm putting the next guy up. Remember what happened to Bledsoe?
Yes.
Belichick's probably had enough with Gronk, and if Kraft does that, siding with Gronk and all these other guys over Belichick, Belichick can throw his arms up. This isn't even worth it.
I'm just telling you, it's the slippery slope. When the owner intercedes on one player, what about the next guy? Especially when that next guy is super important to the first guy.
See, to me, that's the issue there. It's like it's still about Brady. It's about Kraft taking care of Brady. It's less about Gronk to me. If Brady wants Gronk, then it's Kraft taking
and
care
look,
of Brady.
We're just this is a supposed we got a call on you know, trading Gronk, and I'm just telling you that they're not going to trade him primarily because the owner's not going to. Even if the coach wanted to, he's not going to be allowed to. So, but this isn't on the table because I don't think this is not a realistic possibility. He's either going to retire or come back here. That's what's going to happen.
Gronk's got him right now. I mean, he's got him. They're invested in Brady. They got a 41-year-old quarterback. They got a slot receiver coming off of ACL who blew his knee out and multiple ligament damage. Now what are they going to do? Take away the best red zone guy in the league? No shot. Gronk's got him.
Dan in Holliston. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, guys? Quick question for you. It's kind of a two-parter. You guys talk about, ACL and how nobody really comes back their first year. But if you look at time again, look what happened to Adrian Peterson when he tore his ACL. He came back that year and literally torched the NFL. And then the second part is if we do for somehow part ways with Gronkowski, which I hope never happens, what about picking up like Jimmy Graham or even Trey Burton? You know, they're both studs in their own league.
Okay, so let's say Gronkowski does retire. What tight end would you want that you think you might have a chance at? And Jimmy Graham's one of them.
I mean, I'd go after two, actually, because I don't think you're going to get anything close to Gronk. So I told you, I would roll the dice on, I'm not optimistic that Tyler Eifert can come back, but I take a shot there. I go for two. I go for Eifert and Martellus Bennett or something like that, because I don't think you're going to find one guy like Gronk, not who's available.
I like the athleticism of Jimmy Graham. I mean, they're all off-brand Gronk. Tyler Eifert's made out of glass. The guy's always hurt.
Jimmy Graham's a wuss.
Change the offense. Because you're never going to have another guy like that. That's a one-off. That's a generational kind of thing. That's a unicorn. You're not. That's it. So you're just going to throw more to the other guys and do the best you can. But you're not going to get anywhere near the same kind of guy because there's hardly ever been anyone like him. And Adrian Peterson, he came back 1 year after an ACL. We were talking about Julian Edelman and our expectations next year. My expectations are lowered because I think the first year back from ACL is always a quasi-rehab year. And you're never the same guy. Peterson was. Peterson came back and was great. But for every Adrian Peterson, I'll give you a Wes Welker. I'll give you a Tom Brady. I'll give you a Deion Lewis. I'll give you a Jordy Nelson. I'll give you 20 guys. For every one that you say came back and was the same guy in year one, I'll give you 20 that took 2 years to come back. And that's usually the way it goes. 2 years to be who you were as a player. And that's why I'm not expecting much from Julian Edelman here. Glenn in Natick has something for us. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, I know this isn't a hot topic, but you guys were talking earlier about Gronk and the celebration, how Belichick may have gotten upset. There's a great several-minute clip in the Football Life, I think that was 2011, where Belichick's literally talking to the team about how important it is to show excitement and to support each other, and he pointed out a couple plays, even pointed out a guy scoring a touchdown and everyone coming up, and I think it was against Denver, and he said, this is how we intimidate. So I'm a little confused by this notion that he doesn't want guys to get excited and show enthusiasm. And
oh, no. And see, I totally understand the difference, Glenn, and I remember it's the film session where he said, look at no one – so-and-so just made a great play, and no one's rallying to him. Where's the emotion? Where's the excitement? And Bill wants to see emotion. It's a, you know, it's an emotional game, and emotion can help you and all those things. And Bill doesn't dismiss that, the emotion of the game, the pre-choreographed 7-player routine. What does that have to do with emotion? It has nothing to do with emotion. The win, dance, and repeat, is that about emotion? Or is that about guys choreographing a dance routine? I am all with Bill on not allowing that crap, but show emotion. Why can't you show? That's the difference, caller. I mean, that's pretty simple, I think.
Yeah, to me, they're very, very different.
And they should be able to talk about it without the fear of repercussions from the coach.
So but that's different. So I'm with Bill about not allowing the choreographed celebrations. I'm with him 100%.
I mean, but
when Gronkowski said during the year that we can't even talk about it, that's on Bill. Like, so not only do you not let them celebrate, but you don't let them talk about the fact they can't celebrate? That's going too far. That's dumb.
I mean, emotion's about intensity. That's what that is. He wants intensity. He wants people emotionally invested in the game. That's got nothing to do with
stupid,
you know,
dances.
Setting up receivers as bowling pins and knocking them down.
Roger in New Hampshire, hi.
How you doing today?
Good. What do you got?
I think the demise of Bill Belichick will be the TB12. We know 4 Patriots players that take it now. And it's possibly going to be coming out in the very next couple of days. Nate Shoulder is also taking it now. You get Gronkowski, Brady, Edelman, and Amendola. So I think down the road that these guys, if you look at their picture, look at Nate Shoulder from last year to this year. What a difference he has been. If you look at him, it's just like Gronkowski.
Okay. Bill hates the TB12 method. Hates it.
It's more than 4 guys. I got news for you.
It's in the 30s. And I say Bill doesn't hate the fact that they eat avocado ice cream. Like, that's what I'm talking about. He hates Guerrero undermining his own training staff. Hates it, hates it, hates it.
I mean, how can you blame him? He's running an operation there. You got a guy on the outside infiltrating, basically telling his players not to do things a certain way. I mean, it completely corrupts the process. Like, at least in Belichick's mind, it does. Now, what Guerrero might be saying to them might actually be better. What the hell do I know? I'm not a doctor. But in Bill's mind, he's got an operation built, and now he's got to deal with this clown on the outside telling his players to, you know, use rubber bands instead of doing squats. And then his players saying, I'm not going to lift anymore. Now he's got a problem.
So I'm with Bill on this one. I'm with Bill on this one. And I think he was right to throw out Guerrero. But the players have not reacted well to it. And important players have not reacted well to it. Brady, Gronkowski, Moore. And so how do they deal with this issue? And how have they been dealing with this issue? And the back and forth that is really, it's really, the crux of it is this Guerrero thing. When you go back to it, and we'll play several examples here. Fallout from Curran's report the other night, the development today that, according to Rappaport, that Gronkowski will be back. But again, how Guerrero feels to be in the middle of all of this stuff. We'll give you that story right after these words.
The Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him, physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England.
To clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Okay, so that's the original Curran report from the other night. We played it a ton yesterday. Just thought I'd give it to you again, just to refresh. you know, it's beginning to wear on Gronkowski, the atmosphere here in New England. Then that piece about he almost retired in training camp. You know, he wanted to train a certain way coming off of injury, and the team didn't necessarily want him to train that way. I mean, that is a direct reference to Guerrero and Gronkowski going with Guerrero and the team shying away from Guerrero or butting heads with Guerrero. And, you know, famous example is that the team wanted Rob Gronkowski squatting, as every football player does, squat. And Guerrero, his advice to Gronkowski was, you're coming off of back surgery. Why do you want to put 400 pounds on your back and lift it? That's silly. Use these bands, be flexible, the TB12 method. And so that was just one small example. And the team said, you're a tight end. You have to squat. You have to lift weights. It's what football players do. And so it was just, that was just one of the, you know, one of the small examples that went on there. And again, the more you dig in, the more you just realize how much, you know, of a divide the Guerrero thing has really caused. I mean, seriously, I mean, Wickersham wrote it twice in October. And again, the famous story, right before the end of the season. And it's just, it all bears out. Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal tweeted out yesterday this thing where he wanted to do a story on Rob Gronkowski and his new diet and his new training method, and the team wouldn't let him. Mark Daniels, we read you the tweet yesterday. Mark Daniels was on this morning on TNR and sort of verbalized the story. Here it is.
They got back to me basically declining the request, saying it's their policy that players can't talk about their training regimens or diets. And I was kind of floored. I mean, I've been a beat writer at that point 4 years. I've been covering the team for 7 total. I've never heard of that. And interestingly, I've talked to probably dozens of trainers, and I've talked to players about their diets all the time. So for that to come up definitely left me frustrated. So I approached Gronk, and I'm like, the team doesn't want me to write this. You know, they're saying I can't talk to you, but he still wanted to do it. I mean, he was so adamant about wanting to talk about, you know, the TB12 diet and the stuff he was doing that, you know, he gave me enough information that I got a 1,400-word feature out of it. And, I mean, at that point, I had to talk to a couple sources around him, too, to fill in some gaps. But, you know, he was certainly cooperative after, you know, the Patriots told me the interview couldn't happen.
Okay. So, like there's two things there. One is the team had such a thing for Guerrero, and the play that he was getting with the team and the controversy it called internally and externally, that they denied Daniels a chance to talk to him, telling Daniels that it's a team policy that players can't talk about their training regimen and diets, which, again, I covered the team as a beat guy for the first 8 years that Bill was here. That wasn't one of my rules. That was never a rule when I was there. And Daniels, I mean, and not that I gave two poops about it. Like, I can't remember writing many stories on it, but I was never denied access to a trainer or questions about someone's diet ever.
Well, if it's a team rule, how come Brady did it?
So there's an excellent point. So Brady's done it left, right, and center. What, there's a team policy against talking about training regimens and diets? Excellent point. Tom Brady started an entire career talking nothing. I mean, he'll talk your face off. He'll talk the face right off your skull if you ask him about his diet and training regimen. So, right, exactly. But that was never a rule when I was there, and Daniel said the same thing. That's never been I've covered the team for 7 years. That's not a rule. And then Gronkowski on top of it says, well, I'm going to do the interview anyway.
Right, exactly. Defied it.
Which is rich on top of it all.
Yes, he defied it, because, again, and this is sort of the thing now, what are you going to do to me? What are you going to do? You're going to suspend me? You're going to, like, you cut me? And I can go play for someone else? You need me. I'm, you know, because I'm a valuable part of the operation. And so it just, you know, it's just rare that you see guys with that talent in that operation leverage it against the Patriots.
Okay, then we have Mike Hurley writing about episode 5 of Tom V. Time, where we get a glimpse at the area in the stadium where Guerrero is now allowed to work on Brady.
This is the thing that Gasper brought up before.
Okay, so Gasper brought this up. Exactly right, Murray. And Hurley wrote about it today on CBS Boston, a former colleague. Former. Sniff, sniff. Where's Hurley, damn it? We need Hurley. But he wrote today on CBS Boston Sports, in the 5th episode of Tom V. Time, we saw Brady and Guerrero scramble to find space within Brady's stadium for a stadium suite. Scramble to find space within Brady's stadium suite for a suitable pregame massage. Considering it was a game day and there were many people already inside the stadium, the glass walls in the suite didn't make for a very private experience. Brady haphazardly tried to slide a heavy chair and hang some towels to block however much of the window he could. Tommy, Guerrero said to him, this looks ridiculous. Let's not draw attention to ourselves. Let's stack up a bunch of chairs by these windows. Hurley writes that they ended up moving the massage table to a tight space in the back of the suite, in what looks like the area close to the where a bathroom would be. This portion of the program came just after audio of national talking heads discussing the controversy of Guerrero's involvement with him and the team. Quote, got a little treatment room back here, Brady said while looking at the camera. I told him, he's notorious now too. End quote. Now Hurley writes, this Tom v. Time series is important to Brady. He's probably not sitting in a dark room on Final Cut and editing each and every scene, but he absolutely has creative control on what's included and what and in what manner that material is presented. Certainly, if there were anything that Brady didn't want to make the final episode, he would make sure it got cut. So you have to wonder why, in the midst of the national and local media salivating over the juicy gossip of the Brady-Belichick-Guerrero spat, Brady would include a flippant line in his docuseries about Guerrero now being notorious. Hurley writes that the Patriots were nominally aware that this documentary was being filmed. Suffice it to say, given that the team tried to prevent a writer from simply reporting on Gronkowski's diet, the Daniels thing, and exercise routine, the Patriots probably wouldn't have been eager to share with the world that Brady needs to jump through hoops in order to get that pregame massage he feels he needs inside his own stadium before a game. So that's just all a long way of saying is that Brady purposely included that scene to show people what? Look at how ridiculous this is. I've got to go to my luxury suite because it's the only place on game day that I have to get a massage from my guy because they kicked my guy out of the stadium. So I have to go into my luxury suite where everyone can see me through the glass to the point where I'm trying to hang drapes and chairs and crap. So people went, and then we have to dug back in down by the bathroom so no one can look at how ridiculous this is. And that's Brady going back at the team.
Going back at Bill.
Going back at Bill. Absolutely right.
Right? A bad Bill. Because now, what I wonder, and look, this is, you know, now I'm getting into deeper parts of it. Like, is it because it's game day that he's in the suite? Like, where is he normally? Like, I don't know. I wonder. Okay,
but the point is.
But that aside, Brady's still taking a shot at Bill.
It looks more ridiculous in the suite.
Yeah.
And maybe that's intentional.
I mean, this is what Chris has been saying ever since he first saw it. I didn't notice this, and Chris has said for weeks now this has been the most underrated thing in the series, and that Brady did it on purpose as a specific shot to Belichick because look at all the everything he has to jump through to have Alex come and work on him.
So you know what? I must have missed this.
You know, so I wonder whether I stopped after part four, maybe.
No, where was the episode that they played you saying the team looks like dog crap?
I think that was episode four.
So did I just miss five?
I don't remember.
Because I haven't seen the scene that he's talking about. I think I'm light one. I think I must have missed one.
Well, yeah.
Five dropped the day of the game, didn't it? If I recall.
Okay, so whatever. Either. Whatever. I haven't seen it, but those who have noticed this scene. This is intentionally put in there by Brady to show everybody, look at how ridiculous this is. So the Guerrero thing back and forth is real, man. It's just real. It just is.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. And again, this is all about Kraft intervening on some level about the, you know, on behalf of the quarterback, undermining Belichick in this spitting match that's going on between the coach and the QB.
And again, I just want to read you one more thing because I just found it so entertaining. It's small. I'm not making a big deal of it, but it was written and I find it fun. So I'm going to bring it up. And if it makes you cry, then it makes you cry. And Felge making a big deal of it. Go talk about Rick Nash carrying his bag again, idiot. Fine. Go ahead. Rob Gronkowski considering retirement in training camp. Again, I mentioned this yesterday. Like, I remember Bedard saying in training camp that Gronk doesn't look like himself. Like, he's not carrying on like Gronk. He's sort of mopey, or there's just something wrong with his body language. And so, once again, Bedard was proven right on a training camp observation, like his Malcolm Butler stuff. Bedard, this morning on Boston Sports Journal, followed up on the Curran stuff and said, in terms of the retirement talk, I didn't know it had gotten quite that bad. Greg says, Boston Sports Journal members from the beginning know that I wrote about Gronk's demeanor during camp and wondered what was going on because something didn't seem right. And then he says, basically what happened was Gronk came out on the very first day of training camp and completely dominated and was also having a blast. At one point, he caught a touchdown right behind Bill Belichick and did an exaggerated touchdown dance. Which, again, do you want me to demonstrate me as, or should you?
No, you do it.
You do it.
Murray, you want to do it?
No, you do it.
So, I think, again, with all the back and forth, he catches a touchdown behind Bill and does something like this. Gyrating, or, you know, just, how's my ass? Or just, you know, he just starts sticking it in Bill's face, right? He sticks it in Bill's face. But this is what Bedard writes. He catches a touchdown right behind Bill Belichick and did an exaggerated touchdown dance. From that point on, writes Bedard, Gronkowski was very muted in camp. I don't know why I have a hard time with that word. He's very muted in camp. The happy-go-lucky Gronk was rarely to be found, and he had some issues in practice. He was even ragdolled a few times during blocking drills. I wasn't sure what to make of it, writes Bedard. I guessed Belichick likely told him to knock off the dancing in practice, which is his right. But did that happen to tick off Gronk, who had worked his butt off to get healthy and back on the field? No clue. And I just think it's a wonderful tiny little detail of the little petty crap that seems to be going on there. And then when you got in the regular season, Jimmy, cue up the Cooks cut, if you could, that post-game Cooks cut. Then you got in the regular season, and I can't remember what game it was, but Brandon Cooks caught a touchdown or Gronk caught a touchdown. I can't remember. But at one point, Brandon Cooks jumped on Rob Gronkowski's back and rode him like a pony.
Like a horse.
Like a big stallion. And Gronkowski was asked about it after the game.
It was not planned or anything, and we got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations. That's what we got told, but I kind of want to talk about it. But I kind of don't, because I'll get in trouble. So I don't know what to do. So it just happened on the spot. It wasn't planned. We'll just keep it there.
Okay. That's so tiny and small. I just think it's colorful. I like it. It's funny.
Oh, it's great. But it does. It tells you that he probably got aired out in camp on top of it, and he doesn't like getting yelled at, which he, who does? But, I could totally see Belichick getting on him. First of all, Gronk rehabbing all offseason. He comes out. He's feeling good. He's having fun again. He's ready to go. First day, and he's, like you said, shaking it in people's faces, all of that. And all of a sudden, Bill gets on him and yells at him, says, would you cut the crap? Who do you think you are? Stop. And Gronk just said, you got to be kidding me. I've been grinding to get back out here. I get back out here, and you tell me I can't enjoy it?
And, oh, by the way, we need you to squat, Rob.
I can see Gronk getting pissed at that. I can totally see him getting pissed at that.
I just think it's, it's just little snippets of what's going on down there. Which, you figure most of it they get past. Most of it they do. And the thing is, most teams deal with this stuff on a daily basis. That's the bottom line. This is not unusual.
Here. You never hear about it.
What's unusual is that it's coming out here, which we never get to see. But all the little petty crap and ego plays and all this stuff is routine, except we never know about it until now. This year we know about it, which is actually kind of fun. Here's Murray's update. More details on the Rappaport report, and then we're back to your calls.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yes, an update on the future of Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, courtesy of NFL Network's Ian Rappaport today. He is reporting at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis that the expectation, keyword, expectation, is for Gronk to stay with the Patriots for the 2018 season. And Gronk did briefly ponder retirement and discuss possibly switching to a career in the WWE or even Hollywood. And he may end up with a career in either of those venues, but the transition is not expected to happen this season. The New York Jets released defensive end Muhammad Wilkerson today. Running back Matt Forte, who was also last with the Jets, announced his retirement from the league. In an effort to get back into the NFL and latch on with the team, quarterback Johnny Manziel tweeting just a short time ago saying, I will play again for free. It's not about the money, it's about getting back to doing what I miss and love. The Bears are going to be releasing quarterback Mike Glennon once the new league year begins on March 14th. Get ready for whining by your uncle who loves Howie Carr. The Red Sox have just dropped a press release to announce that they have filed a petition today with the city of Boston to rename Yawkey Way back to Jersey Street. And the Celtics, winners of three straight, are going to look to make it four in a row as they host the Charlotte Hornets tonight at TD Garden. Daniel Tice is going to miss this game due to right hamstring soreness. Tip-off is at 7:30. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell going to have the call here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Go to Wendy's for their new 4 for $4. They now have more choices than ever. Wendy's. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update at 5 o'clock.
Blend force travel running right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We do have some more insight, and as far as I can tell, the Patriots have not been informed anything official, and they may not be. Gronkowski has been pretty low-key about things personally and how he handles his career. I would expect that to continue. I also reached out to agent Drew Rosenhaus, who has represented Gronkowski through the balance of his career. He said he has really nothing to add about his status. What I am told, though, is he took several weeks off to kind of let loose and put football in the back of his mind and really kind of set himself free after football. He did ponder retirement. He did discuss potentially moving to another venue, WWE for once, maybe Hollywood. But the belief now is those things will come after his football career. The belief now, Mike, is that Gronkowski will continue his football career with the Patriots. I know it was a difficult year physically for him, and certainly he's been through a lot. But right now, I have not talked to one person who believes Rob Gronkowski will retire. The expectation is he's back in a Patriots uniform in 2018.
So there's the Ian Rappaport report. Go back to your phones. Here's Dan in Stoughton. Hi, Danny. What do you got?
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm thinking, like, eventually he's going to go WWE or Hollywood, but I think WWE because his family can get involved. They can have, like, a faction. The father can be the manager and all that stuff. And if they work out and do enough money, I mean, make enough money, what says that they won't get a piece of an XFL franchise? I'll hang up and listen to you guys talk.
I just, yeah, the family's, yeah, a reality show. The Gronkowskis. Growing up Gronkowski. What's the, is that the Kardashian thing?
Yes.
Growing up Gronkowski.
Growing up Gronk.
Growing up Gronk. It's a natural. And then the whole family goes into the ring. Like, there's so many possibilities for him and his brothers and his family with the Vince McMahon thing between the XFL and the wrestling and reality shows and whatnot. Like, again, I said it from day one. He's got a future there.
I'm not convinced that he's back with the Patriots yet, despite this Rappaport report. I'm not convinced of that at all. I want to hear it right from the horse's mouth. And the only thing that's starting to drive me a little bananas is like, yeah, the XFL, he could get a piece of the team. Okay, if we knew the XFL was going to be worth anything, maybe the last time it was a complete disaster. Not complete, but it was. It didn't work. So like, I don't think that's worth anything yet. That might be a nice little thing to throw into a deal, like, hey, if it works, you could make this on top of what we're going to give you. But singularly, he can't leave for the XFL.
No, not even close.
I mean, like, the idea, though, that people are buying into that drives me bananas. I'm sorry.
It's just a tie-in. It's just one of the things over there that he can do.
Yes, it would have to be. He would have to be on some sort of multimedia platform, right? You know, Gronk the wrestler, Gronk the TV character, Gronk the cartoon show. You know, a Gronk, the XFL guy, like multiple levels. Use them however you want, but it's not going to be purely XFL. The XFL might not last. Good God, no.
We've got John in Alston with our conversation on the NFL catch rule. Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, guys. I got a really simple way to fix the catch rule. It's just you get rid of slow motion and then make the ref make the decision with, like, maybe 50% speed instead of 2% speed. Then you can leave the rules exactly as they are. And I'm a millennial. And I would have no problem getting rid of some technology to make my watching experience less convoluted.
Mazel tov. Like, just get over this thing that you have to get every blade of grass and every inch of the ball right. That there are close calls, and sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. Hopefully you don't let them impact the game. And if they could just get replay to a point where they just take the obvious mistakes that impact the outcome of the game, you're only, and that is by definition replaying a couple plays a game. Then replay would be fine. But now we've gotten into this thing where they replay everything and it's just gotten stupid. And now everyone has to get everything exactly right. Sometimes there's just a bang-bang play at first and it goes your way or it doesn't.
I'll tell you the one that...
Why can't we have... I'm sorry to jump in. Why can't we have replay that takes away the Rob Denkinger misplay in the Cardinals-Royals World Series and the one that cost the guy the perfect game?
Right.
Which were, you know, the guy was, the umpire blew the call by a full step to a half step. Like, anyone could see. Why can't we have replay? It just changes that one and leaves all the other bang-bang ones alone because they're bang-bang. They're supposed to be. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. Like, why can't we just do that? But no one can. No one can. So it's up to you, millennials, to accept sometimes you don't get the call.
I mean,
I don't think there's enough people who are going to agree with that caller.
I just think it's getting to the point of absurdity. You know, the one I always cite is the play in baseball. You slide into the bag and you pop up and your foot comes off the bag by how much? Enough to fit a piece of paper under, like Gene Steratore in the card and the first down marker?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing now? I just think that the rules are there for a certain spirit of it. Like, the one thing that I do like, and this crosses over into a different sport, but I like what hockey's done with the offside rule.
It's really scaled back. When's the last time you can remember a Bruins game coming down to that?
I mean, how many did we have a year ago?
Oh, it felt like once every couple of weeks.
Oh, my God, there were a million of them.
So they put a penalty in there. If you lose the offside challenge, it costs you well, it's a penalty. You go a man down.
Right, so no coach wants to do it now because not only have you given up a goal, but now you're going to be shorthanded on top of it. So forget it. So unless it's egregious, they don't challenge, which is exactly like the NHL. They're ahead on this because it feels to me like they're the only one now that are discouraging challenges.
Long commercial-free segments, over 20 minutes commercial-free right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it's stripped. Here's McAvoy over the line, right side, into the right circle. McAvoy shoots. He scores!
We're going to do a couple things here and then open it up to your calls on the entire show in the final hour, as we like to do. So we've been mostly Patriots and the Gronkowski follow-up. And Ian Rappaport's report today that he has decided to return to the Patriots. Again, I'm with Maz. I don't fully believe it. I mean, I believe Rappaport got it from somewhere, and I believe he got it from somewhere on the team side, because Rappaport generally is a team-slash-league-based reporter. He works for the league, for God's sakes. So I think he generally gets it from the team side, not the player side. So I think entirely makes perfect sense that the Patriots think that Ron Gronkowski's coming back. They haven't heard otherwise. So I buy it as far as that goes. Why isn't Gronkowski or his agent saying it? So until I hear that, I don't think the story's over. But so I agree with Maz on that.
Maybe it's just the Patriots, you know, thinking that Gronkowski's bluffing. So they're sort of throwing it out there. No, we think he's back. Like, let's see what happens now.
Right, so I think this is still be determined. I don't fully buy the fact that he's for sure back. So we've been mostly that. We start with Red Sox and the expectations that they're putting on J.D. Martinez. Alex Cora yesterday is asked what kind of difference he can make, and he says Manny or David. So day one, they're talking about the guy being Manny Ramirez in the middle of their lineup, which I just think is so... First of all, it's a poor way to manage the player. Like, you know, don't put, like... Well, that's not putting expectations on or anything, is it? Ridiculous. Never mind. It's just, I hate when the field manager gets, you know, the whole thing about don't buy the hype. Well, when the field manager is doing that, then where are you? I mean, I hate that. If that's one thing, if Henry or a team executive says something like that, they got to sell tickets. So I get it. I get it. They got to sell tickets. But the field manager, you're not supposed to buy the hype. Never mind put unfair expectations on a guy.
No, it's just, and in the same breath, because of that, he's likening their offense now to Houston or New York. And we actually have the cut now. But the you know, the comment is...
It's no different than when I think we have five number ones. This is one of the things,
exactly,
I thought we were getting rid of when,
exactly,
we got rid of John Farrell, was the spin and the BS. And we already get it with this guy.
How long is the cut?
15 seconds.
Go ahead, play it.
We talk about the Indians, we talk about the Astros, all these offensive teams. New York, I think we're up there with them.
You played with a guy like that here.
Manny.
Kind of centered around.
Manny. Yeah, Manny David. Yeah.
God, like, I hate that.
You played with a guy here? Yeah, Manny.
Manny.
Manny and David, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of a young Mickey Mantle. Like, two things. Why are you a part of the hype machine? You're a field manager. And two, like, Martinez is going to have a hard enough time just living up to his contract and the free agent stat. Never mind, now he's got to be Manny? That's just so stupid. I hate that.
Listen, he's feeling it. And when I say feeling it, I mean he is so geeked up about being the manager of the Red Sox, he can't contain himself. So, you know what? I'm eager to see what this looks like when the season gets going, because something tells me he's going to have a massive screw-up somewhere.
So we started the day talking about that and their new approach, which I'm actually into, and I think is a fascinating story. A team that is takes more pitches and swings later in the count than any team in Major League Baseball is now going to turn around and be aggressive early in the count. How's that going to work? I think it's due. They're due for it. You know, they're due for it to evolve a little bit. But you know, you're asking, you know, they have guys between Betts and Bogarts, guys who look at more pitches than any other players in the league. Now they're going to turn around and swing early in the count. So we hit on that earlier, the Gronkowski story. We can do Bruins if you want, that McAvoy game winner. They keep winning. And Don Sweeney and Bruce Cassidy continue to have all the answers. They make a couple trades. Rick Nash makes the best save of the year, scores a goal, and then something named Tommy Wingles looks like Guy Lafleur out there.
Brett Hull.
Picking corners on the off wing and buzzing the net like the flower. Like, it's just ridiculous what's happening with that team. That bubble is going to burst, man. It has to.
Willie Wingles.
So we talk about that. News came out today that the Red Sox have officially filed a petition with the city of Boston to change the name of Yawkey Way back to Jersey Street.
Which is what it was originally named.
To which I will give a very rare Ted Sarandis round of applause for the Red Sox. Not just for keeping it, taking away the Yawkey name, which they should have done. You know, it should not be named after an inveterate racist. It just shouldn't. But they didn't overreach on the renaming. Like, you know, Freedom Way or, if they, you know, Ortiz Way. Like, we're going to name another something after Ortiz. Or if they had
J.D. Martinez Way.
J.D. Martinez Way, right?
Boy, Billy.
Manny Martinez. You know, J.D. Martinez, Manny Ramirez Way. No, but like, you know, or if they had tried to make too much of a statement on the other end, right? Naming it, who was the first African-American player for the Sox? Green?
Pumpsy Green.
Pumpsy Green. Yeah, Pumpsy Green Way. Or, again, another Ortiz Street. Or, I don't know, something schlocky like Freedom Way. Or, and like, if they had just gone too far in the other direction, like, I think that would have turned people off, too. All they're doing is saying, no, just go back to what it used to be called. Which I think is nice. I think they showed restraint, is what I'm trying to say, don't you?
Well, they definitely did. I told you. I mean, you know how I feel about it. When the idea came up, I was for it. I'm for naming it whatever. But anything but after a person. No more people. People disappoint you. People let you down. And they, you know, who knows what we're going to find out about David Ortiz in 20 years. And you know what? I hope it's nothing. I hope that David Ortiz's reputation and image in the history of Boston sports remains pure and untainted for the most part. But you never know. So I just don't think you should name any of this stuff after people.
I'm just glad they didn't overreach on the other side.
Yeah,
of it.
I would have been okay with, like, you know.
No, it already existed.
Championship drive or something like that.
You know what? The temptation over there is just to get corny. To get stupid corny and do something where I go,
no, and thankfully they didn't. They went to something that already existed. You'd think that everyone would be able to accept this, but how do you think your average Howie listener is taking this today? Or?
You're angry white man? I this is a good compromise, angry white man. Angry man? This is actually, they're not shoving, like, you know, Rainbow Coalition Way in your face. They're not making, they're not overreaching on the other side and making this a political statement on the other side. They're just going back, they're just saying, well, we're just going to name it what we named it before that guy came around, who now does not deserve the name, does not deserve the street name. Yawkey does not deserve that. So we'll just go back to what it was. Fine. Like, I think that's, I sort of breathe a sigh of relief as a, suppose it's something corny and overwrought or something overmark. You know, I thought they'd totally come up with something that would nauseate me.
Well, you know, over time, if the building is worth enough, the street sort of takes on a thing of its own, right? Causeway Street, Lansdowne Street.
Right. It doesn't matter what the name that becomes the name.
Yeah.
I mean, Causeway Street means something.
Exactly. Exactly. It takes on its own sort of identity. And so, look, I told you.
Lansdowne Street. It doesn't exist anymore, buddy boy.
What is it now?
It's Ted Williams Way, and it has been for 20 years, right?
Is that true?
Isn't that Ted Williams Way back there, not Lansdowne Street?
No, I think it's still Lansdowne Street.
Everyone calls it Lansdowne. I don't think it is anymore.
Well, it's always going to be Lansdowne to me.
Yeah, I don't
to me
think it is.
I call it Lansdowne
and the Avalon
Street.
And the Axis ain't back there anymore. That's House of Blues, right?
Yeah, I know that.
I don't. I stopped going there when it was the Axis.
You get out for once in a while.
I don't. Right? I don't like going out.
Murray, you probably spent a little time in those alleys back there, huh?
I used to DJ at Axis back in the day.
Yeah, that's the only thing you did.
Yeah.
You see a wisp of smoke coming out from between those buildings.
Squeaky clean over there, please.
I don't think someone's really allowed to answer.
It's Lansdowne.
In half a second, it should be.
When Murray was back there, I thought they were naming a new pope, for crying out loud. There were puffs of smoke coming out of those buildings.
It is still Lansdowne Street?
Still Lansdowne Street.
Yeah.
So where'd I get that from?
I have no idea. I think you made it up.
I did. I just made it up on the spot. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was renamed. All right. Never mind.
I'm still waiting for the Felger Freeway.
So that's on the table as well. And Al Michaels advanced, I think, the Malcolm Butler story a little bit. Gave you some interesting insight on Malcolm Butler and what happened at the Super Bowl. We'll do that next hour as well with your phone calls.